precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Well, what about it, folks? What about it? Entire scrolls published. New York City, a special ceremony at the New York Public Library, recently drew attention to the complete publication, finally, of the famous Dead Sea Scrolls, 54 years after Bedouin shepherd threw a rock into a cave at Qumran, just above the Dead Sea. An incident which led to the amazing discovery of the ancient scrolls. Scholars have now completed their publication. The ceremony commemorated the presentation of 38 volumes to the library. The volumes record the fragments of the scrolls found mostly in the Qumran area and written from 250 BC until 70 AD. They were released by the Oxford University Press. Criticism has been leveled at the long process, some saying it was too slow and that a body of nine people worked on the text for 35 years without allowing any participation from Jewish scholars. Their efforts produced only 8 volumes of text. It was not until 1990 that the publication got underway in a serious manner under the guidance of the Israel Antiquities Authority. Starting in 1991, some 98 scholars were involved with a team of 60 persons usually working at any given time. People from Israel, Europe, and the United States participated. Scholars referred to some 50,000 scrolls which have been published, but mention that the Cairo Geniza scroll, discovered over 1,000 years ago, has never been published. Thank you to the Jewish press for that information. Now, it was quite a sight back in 1947 when a little Arab boy was, as his common practice was, throwing some stones in the caves around that area. And one day, just before the nation of Israel became a nation in 1948, he heard a sound of cracking pottery. And he went in out of curiosity to find out what the noise was and discovered what is commonly known today as the Dead Sea Scrolls. But what I find even so much more fascinating is that the main scroll that gets my attention is the scroll of Isaiah. It was almost entirely intact, over 2,000 years old. They compared it, folks, now listen to this, they compared it to the King James Bible, which has been the common Bible used primarily for tourist guides around the world while they're in Israel, especially Independent Baptists require that. You see, they know that's the Word of God for the English-speaking world. And so they did a transliteration of the Dead Sea Scroll book of Isaiah and compared it to the King James Bible book of Isaiah. And guess what they found out? It was absolutely accurate. Isn't that amazing? That only proves one thing, that the Bible's always been right. In fact, I know the Bible's always been right. Psalms 12, 6 and 7 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The Bible says in Proverbs 35 and 6, every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And so we know that we have the words of God. We're not like some which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. And that's what Paul was inspired to say in 2 Corinthians 2:17. Now listen, folks, if we don't have all the Bible, then we have none of the Bible. Jesus did imply that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. Christian Arabs leaving Bethlehem. Many Christian Arabs living among the Palestinians in the West Bank have moved away lately. From October 2000 to November 2001, some 2,766 Christian Palestinians immigrated from these areas. Once considered a Christian stronghold, Bethlehem now has only about 30,000 Christians compared to 120,000 Muslims. The data processed by Israeli authorities indicate the Muslims are desecrating Christian holy places, damaging property, extorting money from businessmen, and abusing the dignity of Christian women. A Christian cemetery in Be'et Jalal was desecrated by Muslims, but Arafat's police made no efforts to arrest those responsible. Israeli authorities possess horrifying evidence of crimes and acts of persecution perpetrated against the dwindling Christian community by the Palestinian Authority. In Bethlehem, two of the senior figures in the Christian community were shot and wounded by Tanzim activists, and three young Christian girls were murdered after being accused of prostitution. Now, if you're a Bible-believing Christian and you are a Palestinian, and there are those there, who really believe the Bible and who also really have a love for the Jew. Let me read you some encouraging words from the Word of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer, saying, it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe. Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, God will be taking vengeance upon those who are persecuting Bible-believing Christians throughout the world. Oh, they may not be suffering right now, but God will hold them account, just like He will hold them account those who have persecuted the Jews throughout the centuries. There are true Bible-believing Christians in every nation, and including those ones there, the Palestinians, indeed, there are some who love God, who love the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who love Israel, who love the Jew. And I know this to be true, but the vast majority out there in the so-called occupied territories despise the Jew, hate the Jew, wish that the Jew would be taken from off the face of this earth. Now let me encourage you, whoever you are, Bible believers who are living or in a situation of persecution over there in the Middle East, whether it be Saudi Arabia, whether it be Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, Iraq, Iran, and in these occupied so-called territories of the Palestinians, if you're a Bible believing, born again Christian, and if you understand the Bible, let me encourage you to realize that it is the right thing to stand for Israel. It is the right thing. And I guarantee you this, that in Israel, you will be treated a lot better than anywhere else in the world. So take courage, knowing that this is only a temporary place for us to live. But the Lord, the Messiah, promised, and He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in Me." And He said that He's going to go to prepare mansions for you. Be not discouraged, old Christian. Be not discouraged, Bible believer. The Lord will recompense. The Lord will balance the books one day. Let me remind you in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, "You have heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." There are Bible believers in Sudan. There are Bible believers in other parts of the world, Nigeria. Some of these countries are experiencing a lot of persecution upon true Bible-believing Christians. And let me just say that God sees it all. God sees it all. And before you raise your hand against a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you better think twice, because the hand of God's going to be upon you. Oh, I'm not preaching vengeance. No, no, no. I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches. You need to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. If you're a Palestinian listening to this broadcast, I want to warn you now to keep your hands off of the Jew. I want to warn you from, based on the authority of the Bible, I want to warn you now, whoever you might be, to keep your hands off that nation of Israel. I want to warn you to keep your hands off Bible-believing Christians who love the Jew. I want to warn you now, you better think twice. You better think twice before you hurt and harm those who are called God's people. Taliban, part of lost tribes, with a big question mark. Out of Moscow, we have a new word in our vocabulary. It is Taliban, and it refers to those warlike factions who follow bin Laden in Afghanistan. Of course, we don't know if he's there any longer. He might be dead. He might be in Pakistan. Who knows where he is? They have been the object of attacks by the coalition forces led by America. Almost 3,000 years ago, the 10 tribes were dispersed in 722 BC. Could the Taliban possibly be part of the 10 lost tribes of Israel? Although no conclusive evidence exists so far, many Pashtun names and customs sound Jewish. For instance, there are Pashtun tribes named Asheri and Naphtali. They also practice circumcision on the eighth day after a boy is born. A Moscow-based researcher in the history of the Persian Jewry named Alexei Kornilov recently stated, "It is clear that over the century, lots of Persian Jews came to this territory, including many who had been forced to convert to Islam, as reported in the Jewish Post and Opinion." Now, I want to make mention of the fact that in 1838, about 40,000 Persian Jews fleeing forced conversion settled in Afghanistan. When Israel was established as a nation in 1948, nearly all the community went to Israel. So the probability is that there are no Jews in Afghanistan. If there are, there's probably just a handful. In fact, I heard a report that there was one Jew in particular who was the only one remaining there in Kabul, but there might be some more there. That is very interesting. We know that the Jews were scattered throughout the whole world and that they have, you might say, assimilated into many different cultures as well. This, of course, was all part of God's chastening upon the nation of Israel, but the Lord has said that in the latter days, he's going to gather them again. You see that the Bible had prophesied that God would scatter Israel because of disobedience, and then later he would gather them back together as a nation. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 33, the Bible says, "And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste." Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 27, "The Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, whether the Lord shall lead you." Chapter 28:64, "And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, of which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone." Chapter 30, verse 3, Then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 26, I said, I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 50, for the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 8, remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 16, I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. Jeremiah 13, verse 24, therefore will I scatter them as the stubble that passes away by the wind of the wilderness. Chapter 18, verse 17, I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 14, and I will scatter toward every wind all that are about him to help him and all his bands, and I will draw out the sword after them. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 15, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall scatter them among the nations and disperse them in the countries. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 23, I lifted up my hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen, and disperse them through the countries. Chapter 22, verse 15, I will scatter thee among the heathen, and disperse thee in the countries, and will consume thy filthiness out of thee. Now you understand one of the reasons why God scattered Israel, why he allowed them to be led into captivity in Babylon, why after the Babylonian captivity, he scattered them to the four corners, the four winds of the world. Because it was God's way of chastening his people to ultimately humble them and to bring them back to him spiritually, recognizing that indeed they will first be restored physically as a nation, which the beginning, the stepstones of all that we saw in 1948. But spiritually is the intention of God to bring all of Israel to spiritually worship the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to look upon him whom they have pierced, to realize that Jesus is the one who died for their sins as well as the sin of the whole world. Ezekiel chapter 20:25, thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified. That means to be set apart, sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen. Then shall they dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob. That sure solves the problem here where they say that the Jews were given that land. Yes, they admit that God had given them that land eons ago, but that land doesn't belong to them any longer. According to the authority of the Word of God, this is not true, because the Bible says he's going to give that land back to them. That's exactly right. He was going to give that land back to them. Now, one day, God is going to regather Israel again. And what a glorious time that will be. The Bible says in Isaiah 11:12, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Chapter 43, verse 5, fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. Chapter 54, verse 7, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. He's talking about the house of Israel. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 3, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. We're already seeing that fulfillment right before our eyes. Hallelujah. At Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 14, I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now, we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, P-O-W-D-E-R-S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or G-A, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, and we welcome you to the half portion of the Hope Israel Baptist broadcast this hour. And we have been reading a fabulous true story of a soldier who had his leg amputated by a Jewish surgeon. And the Jewish surgeon indeed was touched, so touched by the experience that he had with this drummer boy who happened to be a Bible-believing Christian many, many years ago during the Civil War era called the American War, and Charlie Colson, the drummer boy, a Christian hero of the American War, with a brief sketch of the author's conversion, or from the synagogue to the cross. Dr. M.L. Rosfeli, surgeon in the United States Army. Now, just to recap what we've already read, he had to do a amputation of the boy's leg and arms, and it was heartbreaking for him. Of course, he had done it to hundreds of other soldiers, but the impact that had this soldier on his life was the tremendous faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah for the Jew and the Gentile, had such an impact on the Jewish doctor that ultimately God dealt with him about whether or not Jesus could be the Messiah. And he took an honest look and observation of it all. 10 years had gone by, and God sent another Bible-believing Christian his way. Now, you might be just like this doctor, where God has given you plenty of opportunity to consider the Messiahship of Jesus. I remember myself when I was about 3 years old, I had a friend that I was playing with, and all I remember from that friendship was that he asked me an awesome question. That question was, did you know that Jesus was a Jew? Well, being only about 3-4 years old, I was still trying to find out what being a Jew was all about. And with Jesus, I didn't know who Jesus was. But it's an amazing thing that God had planted that seed in my heart. And for 14 years, I remembered that. And I remember that question that I couldn't answer. Well, to make a long story short, one day after my uncle, the great rabbi, had died, I went into his library, and lo and behold, I discovered a King James Bible that was given to my uncle some 60 years prior. After reading the King James Bible, God showed me indeed that Jesus was indeed the Messiah and had fulfilled over 100 prophecies regarding his first coming exactly to the letter as was prophesied about the Messiah. And so I continue now to read the true story of Charlie Colson, the drummer boy, and the brief sketch of the author's conversion of Dr. M.L. Rosvalley, the surgeon who operated on the drummer boy and witnessed the drummer boy's death and faith in the Messiah. "Madam," I replied, "I will pray to my God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but not Jesus." "Bless you," she said. "Your God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is my Christ and your Messiah." At this point in the story, the Jewish surgeon had heard about a revival meeting, and so he went to the church and was hearing a revival meeting under deep conviction over his sin. He's now being witnessed and encouraged by a dear lady of God who senses that God is wooing this Jewish doctor to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Now, just like in every case, you cannot force anybody to receive Jesus Christ. And if you could, it wouldn't be genuine. But this is when the truth shall make you free, and you'll be free indeed. You cannot do anything against the truth, folks, but you can't do anything against the truth but for it. If it's truth, you will find it out. God will be found of you, by the way. So don't worry about it. Don't be afraid now to consider the claims of the Messiahship of Jesus. If he's a false prophet, if he's a liar, you'll know it. But you're going to have to search the scriptures to prove whether or not that's so. Now, the scriptures do testify of Jesus. You're going to have to search it out for yourself with an unbiased attitude. So Dr. Rosvalley said, "Good night, madam, and thank you for your kindness," I said as I left the church. On my way home, reflecting on my recent strange experience, I began to reason with myself. Why is it that these Christians take such an interest in Jew or Gentile, perfect strangers to them? Is it possible that all these millions of men and women who during the last 1,800 years have lived and died trusting in Jesus are mistaken? And a little handful of Jews scattered all over the world are right? Why should that dying drummer boy think only of what he was pleased to call my unsaved soul? And why also should that Christian barber of New York manifest such a deep interest in me? Why should the preacher tonight single me out and point his finger at me, or that dear woman follow me to the door and hold me back? It must be all of the love they bear to their Jesus, whom I despise so much. The more I thought of this, the worse I felt. On the other hand, I argued, is it possible that my father and mother, who loved me so dearly, should teach me anything that is wrong? In my childhood, they taught me to hate Jesus, that there was but one God, and that he had no son. I now felt a desire springing up in my heart to become acquainted with that Jesus whom the Christians so much loved and worshipped. I started to walk faster, fully determined that if there was a reality in the religion of Jesus Christ, I would know something of it before I slept. When I arrived at home, my wife, who was a very strict Orthodox Jewess, thought I looked rather excited and asked where I'd been. The truth I dare not tell her, and a falsehood I would not, and so I said, "Wife, please do not ask me any questions. I have some very important business to attend to. I wish to go to my private study where I can be alone." I went at once to my study, locked the door, and began to pray, standing with my face towards the east, as I always had done. Let me just interject something here before I continue this fascinating story, that the Bible says that if a Jew turns to it, meaning turns to the Lord Jesus Christ, turns to the idea, the possibility that Jesus could be the Messiah, that God will remove the veil of Moses from off their eyes. And that is absolutely for sure. And interestingly, that this person, the Jewish doctor, went to pray towards the east. Now think about that. We know that there was only one gate in the tabernacle. Where was it? It was at the east. It was called the Eastern Gate. And there was only one way to get in, was the Eastern Gate. Indeed, the sun rises from the east. Oh yes, Judah, the tribe, the main tribe that led the way of all the tribes in the wilderness, was the lead tribe. Where was it? It was at the east. Well, we know that the prophecy of Balaam was that the star would come out of the east, referring to the sign of the Messiah's first coming. We know that was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 2. And so Jesus came out of the east, folks. The Jews and the Gentiles are going to have to look towards the east. And as Malachi said, he being the Son of Righteousness, the Son of Righteousness, Malachi chapter 4, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you, that's right, unto you, Jewish doctor, unto you, whoever you are, whether you're a Jew or Gentile, but unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. I continued to read, as the doctor said, the more I prayed, the worse I felt. I could not account for the feeling that had come over me I was in great perplexity as to the meaning of many prophecies in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, which deeply interested me. My prayer gave me no satisfaction, and then it occurred to me that Christians kneel when they pray. Was there anything in that? Having been brought up as a strict Orthodox Jew and taught never to kneel in prayer, a fear came over me that if I should kneel, I might be deceived and thus bowing my knee to that Jesus whom I had been taught in childhood to believe was to be an apostate that I could not believe. And if I was to believe, I would be an impostor. Although the night was bitterly cold, and there was no fire in my study, it was not thought that I should use the room that night, yet I never perspired so much in my life as I did that night. My phylacteries were hanging in my study on the wall, and I caught sight of them. Never since I was 13 years of age had I missed a day in wearing them, except on Jewish Sabbaths and feast. I loved them dearly. I took them in my hand, and while looking at them, Genesis 49:10 came flashing across my mind. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Two other passages also which I had often read and pondered over presented themselves vividly to my mind. The first of these being from Micah 5:2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." The other passage is the well-known prediction in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." These three passages impressed themselves so forcibly on my mind that I cried out, "O Lord, God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, thou knowest I am sincere in this thing. If Jesus Christ is the Son of God, reveal him to me this night, and I will receive him as my Messiah." No sooner had I said this than almost unconsciously I flung my phylacteries into a corner of the room, and in less time than I can tell it, I was on my knees praying in the same corner where my phylacteries were lying on the floor by my side. To throw the phylacteries on the floor as I had done was for a Jew an act of blasphemy. I was now on my knees praying for the first time in my life, and my mind was much agitated and in doubt as to the wisdom of my proceedings. My feelings at that time are best expressed in the first hymn I ever composed after my conversion and dedicated to the preacher who had so powerfully impressed me. "Leave me not alone." The prayer of a converted Jew dedicated to my dear friend, Epeson Hammond. My life is filled with sad regrets. No peace attends my way. Each day the sun in darkness sets. Oh, hear me, Lord, I pray. Oh, let me not in darkness rove, but melt my heart of stone. Accept my faint attempts at love, and fix my heart on things above. Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, oh, leave me not alone. Indulgent God of love and power, to thee for help I fly. Be with me at this solemn hour, and hear my contrite sigh. Renew my heart, and be my guide to thy celestial throne. Oh, let me see thy wounded side. I come to thee, the crucified. Lord, condescend to be my guide. Oh, leave me not alone. My heart with inward horror shrinks. I feel this load of sin. Far from the shadow of thy wings, oh, darkness is within. Now take me, Lord, into thy care, and melt my heart of stone. My load is more than I can bear, and thou didst not disdain to hear the publican in fervent prayer. Oh, leave me not alone. I know thou canst not let me go. Thy blood for me was shed. Now let me sink beneath its flow and raise me from the dead. And bid me stretch my withered arm to thee whose love is shown, and grasp thy mantle with its charm to take from death its dread alarm. And then reclining on thy arm, I shall not be alone. My first prayer to Jesus, I shall never forget. It was as follows. O Lord Jesus Christ, if thou art the Son of God, if thou art the Savior of the world, if thou art the Jews' Messiah, for whom we Jews are still looking, and if thou canst convert sinners as Christians say, thou canst convert me, for I am a sinner, and I will promise to serve thee all the days of my life. This prayer of mine, however, went no higher than my head. The reason was not far to seek. I had tried to make a bargain with Jesus that if he would do what I asked him, I, on my part, would do what I then promised him. I remained on my knees for about half an hour, and with a so engaged, drops of sweat came running down my face. My head also felt hot, and I put it against the wall of my study to cool it. It was an agony, but I was not converted. I arose and paced to and fro in my room. Then the thought came to me that I'd gone too far already, and I vowed I would never go on my knees again. I began to reason with myself. Why should I go on my knees? Cannot the God of Abraham, whom I have loved, served, and worshipped all the days of my life, do for me what Christ is said to do for the Gentiles? I looked at it, of course, from a Jewish standpoint, and went on reasoning. Why should I go to the Son? Is not the Father above the Son? The more I reasoned, the worse I felt. I became increasingly perplexed. In one corner of the room lay my phylacteries, which still possessed a magnetic influence over me. I instinctively turned towards them, and I involuntarily fell on my knees again, but could not utter any words. My heart ached, for I had a sincere desire to become acquainted with Christ, if he were the Messiah. I changed my posture time after time, alternately kneeling and then walking about the room from 9:45 until 2:05 in the morning. At that time, light began to dawn in my mind, and I began to feel and believe in my soul that Jesus Christ is really the true Messiah. No sooner had I realized this then for the last time that night, I fell on my knees, but this time my doubts were gone, and I began to praise God for joy, and happiness had penetrated my soul such as I had never known before. I had found the true Shiloh, the ruler of Israel, Emmanuel, God with us. I had believed the report of Isaiah concerning the true Messiah, Jesus, who was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, who was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. They had pierced, and I knew that I was converted, and that God, for Christ's sake, had pardoned my sin. I now felt that neither circumcision availed anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Well, that's about all the time we have for this time in the broadcast of this true story of Dr. M.L. Rusvelli, a Jewish surgeon. We'll continue to read the rest of the story during the next broadcast. But until then, I want to just thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. And please let us know that you have been listening. We like you to tell us what station it was on. And we really invite you to the Lord. We beg of you to consider the claims of the Messiahship of Jesus. He will show you. If you cry out to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, He will prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that He is who He said He is, and that He is the true Messiah. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He's the one who came exactly the way the Bible prophesied. He came to give His life a ransom for many. He was the just one, dying for the unjust. And the Bible says, verily, verily, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you not want to see the kingdom of God? Simply being born in a Jewish family does not guarantee you a ticket to heaven. The only way you can be sure of eternal life is to trust the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Keep His covenant and show with mercy unto Thy servants that walk before Thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like Thee in the heaven. There is no God like Thee in the earth. O Lord God of Israel.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent. That is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God. With sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire, receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by His own blood, and call upon Him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to His Word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew-English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or POWDERSPRINGS, Georgia, or GA 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.